Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thoughts, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number one to speak. Again, please press the number one to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search and type in We Talk Productions and listen to the show live. You can contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, the disproportionate killing of black men. Black men make up about 13% of the population and less than about a quarter of the white population. Police appear to continue to disproportionately kill more black people and blacks who are unarmed and not attacking than they did whites. We want to recognize officers who perform their duties in a professional, respectable, and safe manner. From The Guardian, the Trump administration has all but said we're going to always side with the police no matter what the factual scenario is. They say, going to say, they say Crump. Crump told The Guardian. That's a 180-degree adjustment from the last Obama administration. So that's a problem right there. So from provocative thought, words. It is not to say that more whites should be murdered simply because there are more whites in America. We don't want to wish murder on anybody. It appears that the brothers are getting the short end of the stick again. When will it end? Is it okay to kill a man because he has a criminal record, smokes a little marijuana, is a suspect, made you run fast, isn't afraid of you, resists you, violating him or her? Are you scared or afraid? How do officers sleep after killing someone who is not threatening? When will open season on a black man be over? Because it seems like it's just always been that way. If not impossible to create a protocol for engaging police in some of these scenarios. I thought he had a gun. He was a suspect. He had a record. Does not warrant a death sentence. In some of these scenarios, these guys getting shot, they're not even suspects in crimes or anything. They're just big, you know, just, I mean, I don't want to keep using the word victim, but they are just in the wrong place at the wrong time, even if it's their own residence, apparently. Even if it's where it's supposed to be at, minding their own business, not breaking any laws. Or in a place where the scenario requires police attention, and, I'm going to go ahead and keep reading. Yes, it would behoove brothers and sisters to refrain from criminal activity to reduce the risk of police engagement, assault, or murder. How can blacks increase their chance of survival when they encounter police, especially when the police officer is offending? What can we do about that? What can a black man do about a police officer that's offending? Because, you know, that turns into the situation where you physically defend yourself and now you're getting shot because you assaulted a police officer. The police force is not a profession for scary or weak or the weak of heart. Everyone wants to go home at the end of the day. I hear that singing about, you know, police officers, they want to make it home at the end of the day, but you got to realize people in the community want to make it home also. So everybody wants to go home. What are we willing to do to make that happen for some people? Some people aren't going to go home because of this scenario. It's going to require, you know, that some people react to them in a violent way. We understand that. Police, subject to another set of laws? It seems like they are. From Fox 5, just to give you a couple of incidents. Jamel Roberts, 26, was shot dead by a mid-Latvian police officer responding to a shooting inside Manny's Blue Room Bar in Robbins, Illinois. It's about 4 a.m. Sunday, on a Sunday. Witness said the officer shot the wrong man. The Guardian, I think you might have heard of this guy right here, because this was a guy in the mall. Emantic Bradford, 21-year-old African-American. He was a licensed gun carrier. He was responding to a shooting in a mall that he was in. And he was gunned down police officer in circumstances that remain shrouded in controversy and conflicted narrative. That means the cop said one thing and some witnesses said something else, right? It's from the Guardian. It's, one of the witnesses say Bradford was killed immediately. Another one said it happened really, really fast. The witness was this witness had been interviewed by the state. He was shot three times, once in the head, once in the neck, and once in the back. And this all the shots entered from behind. Hoover Police Department said, thank God, originally, that thank God we had our officers very close. Police Chief Nick Derziz called local media. They heard the gunfire, they engaged the suspect, and they took out the threat. But 4 days later, the department was forced to concede that Bradford was unlikely to be the shooter. USA Today, 2018, Antoine Rose, 17, was shot three times and killed after he and another passenger fled from a car stopped by police in East Pittsburgh. Police say the car was possibly used in a non-fatal shooting 15 minutes early. Officers found two semi-automatic handguns on the floor of the car. So hearing these stories, you guys, so far, you think that anybody should have been murdered? It's from CNN. Sacramento police officer shot and killed a black man in his grandmother's backyard because they believed he was pointing a gun at them, police said. But investigators say they didn't find a weapon at the scene. Only a cell phone. Minutes after the shooting, more officers arrive on the scene. A voice is heard saying, hey, mute. And the audio on the body camera cuts off. Problemo, right? The New York Times, this is 1997. A 17-year-old student was shot and wounded on Thursday by an undercover federal agent who mistook a foil-wrapped candy bar that the youth was holding for a handgun, officials said yesterday. This is one of those scenarios when I'm talking about how do you prepare for that is impossible to prepare for. You trying to eat your Mars bar or whatever he was eating, I don't know. And somebody comes and mistakes that for a gun, or I don't know. Are police not trained to know what a gun looks like? I don't understand that. It's a candy bar. I mean, last time I looked, candy bar looks nothing like a gun. So that's a problem. Is that just okay to say, I thought he had a gun? Because it sounded to me like all the police officer has to do is say, I thought he had a gun. It's just in his mind, feel that there's a threat and it's okay for him to use deadly force if he's threatened. If that is the case, we're all in trouble. Because I'm assuming that a lot of people eat candy bars. And then I don't know how many people have cell phones. The New York Times. New York City police officer shot and killed a black man who was known to be mentally ill on a Brooklyn street corner on a Wednesday afternoon after he pointed what the officers believed to be a gun at them. The authorities said the object, however, turned out to be a metal pipe with a knob on it. Now, I don't know about that situation right there, but I mean, I don't. That's close right there. But I don't know what the conditions was. Did they not see it with a metal pipe, or just the fact was he pointed like he was aiming a gun and he got himself shot? From the Root, Michael Harriet, in 2019. He just the Root said in March 2008, cops in Sacramento fired at least 20 bullets at a 22-year-old Stefan Clark, killing him. He was unarmed and running away. Somebody help me with that, because I'm not the brightest guy in the world. But can somebody tell me why you need to shoot a man who's running away and why you firing 22 shots? That's a lot of bullets. I'm assuming he wasn't on a desert, that he's in a community, and there's 22 bullets going somewhere, right? I mean, we have a problem with people, you know, thugs shooting up the neighborhood, right? Well, there's 22 bullets that went somewhere. Anyway, June 2018, Pittsburgh police officer killed, this is the same brother, 17-year-old Antoine Rose. In November, a Hoover, Alabama police officer killed 22-year-old Mr. Bradford. We just talked about him. He was in the mall. He pulled his gun out. We have a caller. Hello, welcome to Provocative Thought.
Hey, I agree with you. I'm a white man, and I'm a cop, and these black shootings are ridiculous. I shot a black man once right in his asshole, and I took care of him pretty easily. You don't have to shoot him in the chest or the head. Just shoot him right in the asshole. That'll teach him a lesson, right?
You shot,
motherfucker.
You a police officer?
Yeah, I shot a black guy right in his asshole once. You don't have to shoot him in the head.
Why did you shoot him?
He was just looking at me the wrong way, so I shot him in the asshole.
Oh, I don't think you're a police officer. You don't sound like a police officer. Police officers don't shoot people.
What a police officer sound
way.
Like, motherfucker.
That doesn't sound. You're a police officer, and you're on the radio saying that you shot a guy for looking at you.
This isn't the radio. It's an online website that no one listens to.
Oh, are you really a police officer, or is this crank call?
Yeah.
Is this real?
There's no
way. So you're a police officer and you shot a black guy for looking at you. You think that's okay?
No, I shot him in his asshole, though. It wasn't in the head or the chest or anything. He's still alive.
No, but you said you shot him for looking at you.
Yeah.
You think that's okay?
Yeah, why not?
Because it's illegal?
No, I didn't get in trouble for it, so how's it illegal?
Well, that's part of the problem. That's exactly what we're talking about tonight. Why weren't you reprimanded for that?
Oh, the guy had a history of arrest, so they actually gave me an award for doing it.
Oh,
I took care of him.
Just what part of the country do you live in?
West Virginia.
You work in, not live. West Virginia. So you're saying you're a West Virginia police officer who admittedly shot a man in the behind for looking at you. And nobody pressed charges against you. Nobody took your weapon or anything like that.
Yeah.
No investigation or anything.
If you shoot him
in the asshole,
it's fine. It's actually like target practice.
Oh, okay. Well, that says there's a problem here, right? We have a problem in this country. Are you saying it's okay? Let me get this right. It's okay to shoot anybody for looking at you, or are you saying it's okay to shoot a black man for looking at you?
No, just a black man.
Oh, just a black man. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So you don't feel that there's anything wrong with shooting black people. That's what you're saying, right?
Well, they're the only ones that look at me wrong.
So you think it's... So you're saying that... What if a white man looked at you wrong?
They never have.
Oh, there's plenty of white guys that will look at you wrong. We know that.
Right. Do you see the difference?
Yeah, we know plenty of white guys that will look at you wrong. I'm asking, what would you do?
Probably shoot him in the asshole like I did with the black guy I shot.
Wait, so did you shoot the guy? Did you shoot the black guy because he was black, or did you shoot him because he looked at you, or both? Which is it?
Well, look, I already said this because he looked at me wrong.
Well, I'm just trying to find out if was his ethnicity have anything to do with why you chose to shoot him. Also,
no, I'm just saying because he looked at me wrong.
Oh, okay, so you were afraid of him?
You wouldn't do the same thing?
No, I don't shoot people for looking at me wrong. Mm-mm.
Well, because you're not a cop and
you
have a gun, so how do you make a comparison?
No, if I was a police officer, I'm not shooting people for looking at me wrong.
No. You can't say if you were, you're not in the situation, so you don't know what you would do.
No, I know what I'd do if I was a police officer.
No,
what's looking at you
no,
wrong? What is looking at you wrong? What's that mean anyway?
He looked at me cocky.
What is looking at you?
Slack jaw.
He what?
He looked at me cockeyed with a slack jaw.
Okay, so in order to shoot somebody in the ass, that probably means that you shot him in the back with his back turned.
No, and that was a little bit lower, right in the asshole.
Right, so he had to have his back turned towards you. You understand that, right?
Yeah, because he was running like black people usually do.
Like black people usually run.
I'm so tired of it. Cardio in, just chasing him.
Oh, okay. So white people don't run, don't commit crimes and have run down the street, you're saying?
No, I've never had that happen.
In West Virginia? Really? You have no crime in West Virginia created, but no Caucasians committing crimes in West Virginia.
Yeah, they do petty crimes like breaking the cars and stuff.
Okay. Do you shoot them in the butt when you meet them, when you run into them?
No, because it's people that call after they've done it, so I don't see them.
Oh, okay. So what kind of police work you doing there? You never arrested anybody, anything like that? Never come in contact with anybody committing a real crime?
No, I haven't. It's just black people, unfortunately.
In West Virginia, no white guys committing any crimes. We have another caller. Caller, welcome to Provocative Thought. Hold on. You can hold on. Yes.
Yes. If this is a police officer?
He says he's a police officer.
This is Officer Martz.
And you never witnessed any Caucasians committing any crimes. Is that correct?
Do you live in West Virginia, sir? Do you live in West Virginia, sir? Do you live in West Virginia?
No, I don't live in West Virginia, but your attitude is similar to many Caucasian cops that I have encountered.
Of course,
only
you've encountered cops.
What
a surprise.
Excuse me? Excuse me?
Said, of course you've encountered cops. What a surprise.
No, I encountered them working with them on different committees and programs. You see, your stereotypical thinking is one of the reasons why we have these issues in the United States.
Did you guys
watch
the Cowboys game?
You do not belong in serving the community. You don't.
Did you watch the Cowboys game?
The Cowboys game? What's that have to do with any?
I'm watching the Cowboys game.
Okay. And?
So what the hell? Yeah, and?
I'm just saying what I'm doing right now. What's the problem?
Oh, okay. Okay. You know, the brother is trying to say, let you know, but you already know you're a threat to the community, right? You shoot people for looking at you, right?
No.
Not only
you're not a threat.
Not only you're a threat to the community, it sounds like you're a disgrace to your force, your police force in West Virginia.
No, I got an award this year. I have it at my basement.
Oh, you got an award for shooting down black folks?
No, I just did that for the police force. I'm asking.
You said. Go ahead, Carlson.
Did I say that's what it was for? Stupid. We're not calling people names. All right.
Yeah, we are.
We're going to be respectful. We're going to be respectful while we're on the air. Okay. Now, what you do with your personal time, that's your business.
Wait a second. You called me a disgrace. So isn't that name calling?
No.
No, that's not name calling.
I'm just telling you that, no, I am saying that is, I am observing your character. Policemen should not be going
spend
around
it in your own
shooting
way.
People. Because of their color of their skin or just the way they look. The kid that got shot in Kansas City, he was shot because he looked like a bad dude coming out of the school.
Well, I didn't shoot the guy in Kansas City, so I don't know why you're telling me.
Right, his issue is you don't have to kill him. You can shoot him in the butt, he's saying so. But he's saying he shot a guy in the butt. That wasn't committing a crime, that was just looking at him. I don't even know what kind of way. I'm trying to get to find out. What does that mean? What kind of look are you talking about?
Intimidating.
Cockeyed. What's that mean? Cockeyed. What's that mean? I don't even know what that means. Were you intimidated by him? That's what I asked him. I asked him that originally. Were you intimidated by the way the guy looked at you?
No.
Okay, then what would the need to use deadly force?
I don't like when people look at me cockeyed.
Well, that's what makes this sound not real, because you're saying you got a pat on the back for doing that. And we all know when police officers, even when they shoot somebody, there's a certain procedure that goes along with that. You're not even mentioning that. You're just saying, they just say, hey, go up, shoot another one in the ass. And you kind of like not even mentioning it. You do know the procedure for when a police officer fires his weapon, right?
What?
I think this guy's joking with you, Paul. See, this guy cannot be a police officer with that attitude. He's not even covering up that he shot someone in the buttocks for looking at him in the wrong manner. I don't believe this guy is a police officer. Not with this attitude. I mean, they just don't come out and say that they're racist or black people commit crimes. They just don't say that outwardly. They might feel that way. I'm not saying they don't feel that way, but just say that outwardly, I don't think this guy is a police officer.
Okay, well, police officer or not, he has expressed some very interesting views about, you know, using deadly force.
You guys ever shit your pants?
Oh, so you sure you're a police officer? Because you sound like
yeah. I don't think he's a police officer.
You might need some help.
Give him a psychological evaluation.
You sound like you might need some help. So can I direct you to some things you might be able to do to get some help? Hello?
Hello?
Yes. You sound like
How's
you might could benefit from some help. Would you like to explore getting some help for yourself?
I need some help wiping my ass.
Oh,
you need some
God.
Help wiping
oh,
your behind. Okay, we're going to end this conversation, brother. Thanks for calling the show.
Thank you, bitch.
I thought he was one of your guests, Carlton.
Man, I don't know that guy. He's definitely not a police officer. He's not a police officer at all. No,
KKK,
he didn't even have. He didn't even mention the protocol. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You fire your gun. You don't go right on the street. Even if they pat you on the back, you don't get to go back out. Even if it's a justified shooting, it's not.
Yeah.
They gotta do an investigation.
You got to sit the test for at least 30 days.
You got that's right. So he left that part out, and he sounds like he's have some mental health issues.
Yeah.
So I tried to help him, and he didn't want help. So did what I could do. So back to the show.
Delta.
I hope that guy never gets to become a police officer. So we have what do you say, Kenny?
Because
you want to say something?
There are guys on the police force that do feel that way, but they just don't
like
say
him.
It openly. Mm.
Right.
But they don't say it openly.
Right.
I could give you an example. There was a shooting in the area where I lived in Jersey at one time, and one, it was a gang member shooting at another opposing gang member, and but they shot in the church van that happened to have kids, and none of the kids were hit and everything. So I'm standing there with a sergeant, a white police officer, and he said this: I don't care if gangbangers kill each other, but when you shoot kids, that's when, you know, I step in. And I said, Sergeant, a lot of these gangbangers are kids. So they have their own stereotypes. So, I mean, but, yeah.
Well, no. Well, we're still having this problem with brothers getting killed, and they're not even participating in crimes and things like that. You know, it's just based on this guy right here, which I don't even want to spend any time talking about that guy though. But if that's the attitude of any police, any police officer, black, white, Asian, Latino, we're going to have a lot of problems and a lot more shooting. Black, white, Asian, or Latino, doesn't matter who you are. If this guy's afraid of you, because looking at you cross-sided is a sign that you're intimidated by somebody. So basically,
well, there are police officers that are afraid of young black men. That's simple. I mean, in the old Harlem, not New Harlem, but old Harlem, old Bed-Stuy, young brothers used to get shot down daily by police officers because these police officers were afraid of them. And most of the police officers were white. That's just, I'm just stating the fact. Yeah. You see, in the city of Philadelphia, you got a lot of black police officers. So you may not encounter that attitude. But where I reside at, in the old Bed-Stuyvesant area, you know, most of the police officers that patrol Bed-Stuy, who used to be black, majority black, they were intimidated. They were intimidated by young black men, by the way they look, by the way they dress, by the dress. Well, this was like the early 90s, mid-90s, with dreads was becoming fashionable and everything. White police officers were afraid of that. So, mistaken identity. Man, young kids used to get shot all the time for mistaken identity.
Well,
your wallet looked like a gun. Your wallet looked like a gun. Now your cell phone looked like a gun. That's nervousness.
That's candy bar. Fear. How about the candy bar?
Yeah. Come on.
That's weird, man. I'm like, Michael Moore did a show, one of his specials on that, and he was giving out orange wallets to black guys so that they wouldn't get shot pulling out their wallet. But what happens is if you even reach back there, you're going to get shot long before. You could get shot long before you pull a wallet out. So, I mean, orange wallet is not going to solve the problem.
I remember me and a friend about 8 years ago, and I was escorting her to a family reunion in North Carolina, and she had a heavy foot, and we got pulled over, right? And because I was sitting in the passenger seat, one cop was black, the other cop was white, right? The troopers. So the black cop was cool, you know, giving you license registration, let her do movement. But the white cop saw me, took the flip, the thing that holds the trigger off, had his hand the pistol. He was locked in Glock on me. And I'm looking at him like, I'm just sitting there. And we were well-dressed. It's not like we was in our, you know, casual dress and everything, but we was well dressed. And he was locked, got ready to go on me. You know, so yeah. I believe that. You know, a lot of it's intimidation. They're intimidating.
So I just told you a story about a young boy, he was in a car, they ran out of the car, he's running away from the police, they shot him. That's not intimidation.
Nah. He's running for his life. Yeah, well, you know what they
That's
say.
Not intimidation. He's running. He's running.
Where in that eyes, only guilty people run.
But he is guilty. No, he's guilty. They found two semi-automatic handguns in the car. I'm not saying he's an innocent person. I'm saying he's running away from police, not threatening, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, what are police officers trained to do if a suspect is fleeing? Is it okay to shoot him? Kill him? Because they're trained to shoot to kill, so if they're pulling out their weapon, they're shooting to kill, right? Right? So, is it okay to shoot that? Huh?
How about the kid in Seattle? They got shot last year about this time of the year. You know, like all the conversations. He got shot up. You know, I mean, his brother was on TV. Was it Portland or Seattle? It was one of them towns. And he was unarmed. Now, he wasn't innocent. He was trying to break into a car, and he ran. They shot him in his grandmother's backyard. Unarmed.
Right. So the question is, now, how does an attempted burglary turn into a homicide, a police homicide? That's the question.
Yeah.
Is that okay? Because is it okay to kill a guy because he committed a crime? Because I thought we had judicial systems all to determine what the punishments were. You know what I'm saying? I could be wrong.
Right. Hey,
I mean, is it okay to kill the defendant? Because that's a death
sentence. Judge and jury and execution.
Right. That's like Judge Dredd.
Well, when
it comes
to black folks everywhere, when it comes to black men, when it comes to young black men, and now we used to have the talk with your teenage son about the birds and the bees before they go into high school. Now you got to have a talk about survival. About what to do if you interact with a police officer, especially a white police.
Or if you're eating your candy bar, maybe? You guys have a conversation about what to do if you're eating a candy bar? How you gonna have a talk about that? Or you on your cell phone?
Yeah.
I mean, some of these scenarios is impossible to prepare for. You know, so like some of the things like these guys, you committing a crime, you're perpetuating police interaction with you. You understand what I'm saying? You ride around in a car with guns. I don't know if these guys shot nobody or not. So they didn't shoot nobody. They're the car with guns. They don't want to go to jail for having those guns or whatever was done with those guns. So they got out, they start running, right? So they run. Black or white, they're going to run. Black, white, Latino, Asian. Like they're going to try and flee that scene. Right?
You know, what?
More than
likely. Where I live at now, there were two young black men that stole a car running down the highway. They jumped out, run down the highway. Black police officers were chasing them. Well, no white police officers. Black police officers were chasing them. They got them without any force. To me, there's a difference between a black police officer and a white police officer. You know, so, and of course, you know, black police officers feel somewhat the same way we do, but they can't express it because they're part of a system that gears on not our behalf.
So you're saying some black officers... You say some black officers were apprehended a suspect without killing him, you're saying?
Yes. And
I'm sure that happens frequently. I'm sure that white officers and black officers apprehend suspects frequently without murdering them. Because we got the prisons are filled with guys. You know what I'm saying?
If it's a violent crime.
Without murdering them, I'm saying. Because you get prison filled.
I feel more good. If I was a criminal, I'd rather be chased by a black police officer than a white police officer, to tell you the truth. You know, I have a 50-50 chance of living. If I'm being chased by a white police officer, I have a 95% of chance of getting shot to death. And that is just a simple fact.
Hey.
If I committed a crime, statistics say that.
Not 95, but the statistics support that you have a greater chance.
Yeah.
You have a greater chance of everything.
I remember one time I was living in Philly. My kids had made it to the city championship. And I locked up the park and everything. It was pouring down rain. And I'm driving home and everything. A cop pulled me over. It was a big, tall black policeman and everything. But my actions, if it was a white cop, I would be talking to you right now. Because what happened, he couldn't see the sticker on the license plate. It was white on white. It was very hard. He said, come here, sir. Let me show you what I'm looking at. And it was hard to see. You know, that's why he pulled me over. He couldn't see the sticker. They had just started the stickers on the license plate back then. And my movements warranted, if it was a white police officer, guns drawn. So I immediately went to the glove box to get the registration and the insurance card.
Costello, huh?
Yeah, I immediately
Costello went
to
get
the
his paperwork. He gunned down point blank.
Yeah. And then, stupid me, because, you know, I locked up the park. I had gear that said Black Hawks and everything. And I went in my back pocket to get my wallet and everything. He said, no, I ain't stopping for that, sir. You know, it was a white police officer. You ran my name. You had me sitting on the sidewalk, handcuffed with a bullet in my chest or something. That's all my movements. But back then, we wasn't thinking like we're thinking now. Keep your hands on the steering wheel. Do not make any sudden moves. Follow all directions of the police officer that's questioning you. We wasn't doing that back in the early 2000s. 2001, 2002. Wasn't thinking like that. And the police officer was by himself, too. He was by himself, too. And then when I got home, I sat down and said, damn, I could have been killed. You know, plus on a
he was nervous. He could have shot you. He could have. I can see how. I see what you're saying because it happened to Castillo after telling the police officer he was licensed to carry a gun, and then you know he tried to get his ID for the police officer, and he said, "Don't reach for the gun," but he's getting his ID. You know, his paperwork.
Right.
And he gunned him down. I understand what you're saying, but that guy was obviously afraid, and he probably shouldn't be a police officer. We have another caller. Can you hold on?
All right.
Hello, caller. Welcome to Provocative Thought.
Assalamu alaikum.
Yeah, alaikum assalam. Yes, sir.
I'm a little late on this conversation, but I want to chime in on what the brother was just talking about. And some information that came across on the internet. And one of the things is that as far as the person being black and dealing with the police, is that it's a business deal. Black bodies are a commodity. Black bodies is money on the market.
I'm hearing a lot of noise. Hold on for a minute. 1 minute. That noise in the background, is that where you are, or who's that, the noise in the background? Okay, let's go on. Let's go.
Black bodies are a commodity. They're worth money, dead or alive. Alive, they're worth money by being incarcerated and, you know, building the prison system, funding it. They're worth money dead on the market for body parts. Because a lot of people, you know, don't put down whether their organs can be donated or not. A lot of people don't go into looking at the autopsy, what's being done with organs from the body, things like that. There's also information stating that, you know, as far as information about the straw man or fictitious person of who we are being sold on the market as opposed to a white person. So it's more so... So it's more so like a black man could kill a white person and get time for it because that white person is worth more on the market as far as being the straw man as opposed to the black man. As far as for the cops are concerned, I just found out that a lot of cops aren't even allowed to be a part of social media as far as people or information about government and structure things in society. So they're almost brainwashed as far as I'm concerned. they're basically just told, like, get the numbers up and you be okay. They don't have any empathy or sympathy for the people that they're stopping. They don't even know the law. That's what I'm starting to learn also, that a lot of these cops don't even know the basic law and is willing to break any kind of law just for their own ego.
So you're saying they don't know the law. How that impact on them shooting a man in the back that's running away? You don't need to know the law for that. I mean, you can assume that it's not okay to shoot a person who's non-threatening, running away. You haven't been in a gunfight with him. He's not even next to you. It's just a guy running away. Or a guy eating a candy bar. Or a guy using his cell phone.
And I agree with that. The problem that I see is that they're protected by their union. And as long as they're under that union and under that guise, they're protected. So no matter what the situation is, they're most likely to get off. So as far as them upholding the Constitution or any law, they're just thugs. They're not of the law. They're of a corporation.
Or are they of the law? Or are they of the law?
Are they of the law?
Yeah, you say they're not of the law, but I'm saying, or are they?
They're the thugs for a corporation that is not of the law of the people.
I'm just throwing it out there.
Oh.
I don't have all the answers. Well, I think there's many reasons for why individual police officers are killed. You know, and you know, like I know, like you said, this you might be intimidated, like brother was saying, came saying people are intimidated by people, so they use they put themselves in situations where they have to use lethal force to get out of it. But then you have people whose mind is, you know, like, you know, the saying is, one thing gonna happen is between me and you, I'm going home tonight. You ain't. You know what I'm saying? So if you have that type of mentality, which you should have a mentality about you going home. I'm not saying a police officer shouldn't be having his mind that I'm making it back home to my family. But it shouldn't mean that you kill someone. Because, I mean, a guy that's non-offending, you don't have to kill him.
Well, I look at it like this as well. The guy that's running from the cop, he knows what he has to face. He knows if I get caught by the cops, I got to go to jail, I got to do time, or I might be killed. The cop,
hey,
he don't have to face anything. If he shoots someone, he don't have to worry about whether he's going to go to jail or whether someone's going to come to his house and say, hey, listen, you killed my family member, I'm going to kill you. He don't have to worry about whether internal affairs is really going to do due process, because he has an organization behind him. So he's not in fear. He's not in fear. Now, if he says he's in fear of his life, it doesn't equate to a person running from them, because they truly see the fear. He has a gun. So if they really felt like they were in fear, they would do well with the public, because they got to ask. That's just their job. When they come back out, you're still in the public's eye.
So you don't think a police officer is fearful? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying at certain instances, no, he's not fearful. I think he's just triggered. There's certain things. Someone say gun and everyone's pulling guns and ready to shoot. But just the word gun, and they all ready to shoot. 10 people screaming at one person, get on the ground. You can't listen to 10 people. But they're all doing it. Reactionary. So I feel as though that when the states are higher, then they'll stop. They'll take, you know, precautions on, well, whether I should shoot this person and if it's needed.
Okay. You said there's no consequences for police for murdering people, whether they're
there are no consequences.
You know,
not
people
for black
who are non-offending.
Not for black men. Can I ask y'all a question? Have you known any police officers in the last 20 years that got convicted of killing a black man? Well, let me.
I can't say that. I have to research that.
Do you know any white person that got convicted of killing a black man?
Let me see. Didn't the guy get convicted in North Carolina?
Huh?
North Carolina, the guy in North Carolina, didn't he get convicted? They had the cell phone footage where the guy was running away. They had a family court kind of like bench warrant, like he didn't pay his child support or something, and he ran away. I think he tried to tase him, then he shot him. He's running away. What's his name? Older dude, like you.
So that's one.
Something.
So that's one, because there've been many shootings of black men by white men.
Oh,
and
yes.
You name one. You name
right.
one. So that just tells you what the value of our lives are in this country. And I'm just trying to get people to see that it's not just the individual. It's a system. It's a system that is tackling.
And you know, that's funny you should say that. That's exactly what they're saying. It's kind of odd that somebody say it's a system, but it's not a racist system. Which is, to me, is kind of like, doesn't make sense. They're saying that the disproportionate killing of black men occurs, according to researchers, because of institutional and organizational racism in police departments and the criminal justice system targets minority communities with policies like stop and frisk and the war on drugs that have more destructive effects. So institutional racism comes from racist people. So that means it's racism. So, you know, it can't be institutionalized unless you have individuals that form that institution, right? And what happens is that it doesn't matter if you're black, white, or Asian, you still can support the racist agenda if you are a part of the institution, right? An organization of racism, right? Your behavior still can support that.
So you're saying judges and prosecutors that are black, they're supporting the white supremacist institutionalized
agenda. If they abide by or use the same guidelines that they use, which means that
the same guidelines to keep their jobs.
Well, not those guidelines. The unwritten guidelines, the ones that say this black dude come through, he gonna get more time. And this white boy, he going to go to jail, but he going to be out in 3 months. This black guy going to come in, he going to go to jail, but he going to do some time. You know what I'm saying? He going to get more probation, I'm going to give him less probation. That rule, right? And if you support those rules, then you are supporting the institutionalized practices of racism, organizational racism. That's what I'm saying. And they said it. The guy that went on to say that these things that trickle down have a way of trickling down into the minorities. And I'm like, what? No, but look here. Things don't have a way of trickling down to minorities. They are targeting minorities. It's not flowing like a stream of water. It's cutting like a powerful water saw. I don't know if y'all know about water saws. That's one of the most powerful saws there are. They say the truth is a hard pill to swallow. It also appears to be a difficult thing to admit. Denial complicates the issue along with the clandestine legislation targeting minorities or racism. It appears to trickle down to minorities. If it appears to trickle down to minorities, it was designed to trickle down to minorities. And it's therefore a racial construct. It's not rocket science. Minority faces do not change the racial agenda. The authoritarian attitude can be observed in the attitude of the enslaver who demanded absolute submission under the threat of death. The African slaves were targeted and their descendants inherited the curse. A slave population represented the most vulnerable and oppressed population. Incorporate that same ideology in a quasi-military organization and you have a system designed to subjugate vulnerable populations, be they black, white, Latino, or Asian. You also have a lot of dead guys, especially from the least valuable and the most vulnerable populations. What y'all think about that?
Well, I think that it's the same like from the very beginning when the police first started, you know, the overseer. So it's a business to me. I see it as a business. Like I started off saying, black folks are the commodity. We are their American Express platinum cards, gold cards. Even during slavery, if you had land and you ain't have a slave, you really didn't have wealth. So we are the wealth, dead or alive. And now they have trained killers, which has been centuries of practice, and able to legally, I can't even say it's legal, because I can't really find anyone thinking that anything is legal that made by crooks. And that's what this government is. They're a bunch of crooks, you know, and they're making things to work for them. That's why the police can get away with what they're doing, because they have crooks that will help them get off. That's working for them. But the other thing that alarms me is that over the years, it's kind of funny that we have Chinatown in every major city. Now we have Indians coming from over and all these other groups of people, but we're not hearing any destruction to these people. No murders, no killing, no stop. I'm quite sure some of these Asian people drive the same street.
You want to know why? You want to know why? They come with their own resources. When you have your own resources, when you have your own finances, and when you could come to the table, you could come to the table and dictate your own destiny. And with black folks, we have resources, but it's not our own. We have $1.3 trillion worth of resources, but we give it away. We spend it with others. We don't have our own. You don't see police officers running up Chinatown and running up in Indiantown and shooting up their kids.
Well, going on what you just said, I think it's more so like this. The reason why we don't have the wealth is because when we become wealthy, we're doing well. They don't do so well. But when Asians come and other people come, they can have the wealth because they can get rid of them and send them back to wherever they came from. Because they know they're not taking over when they come here. But we're here. So you got 48 million black folks all acquiring wealth who are the minimum. That can't go down. Where are they going to send us to? Ship us back to Africa? Ship us back to someplace? No, we're here. They can't get rid of us. So they have to make sure that we do not become wealthy. And
there are Asian Americans, right? Just like there are black Americans, there are Asian Americans also, right?
I wouldn't understand what Asian American is or black American, because they already made distinction
in America
over what Americans are.
Right, born in America.
Right.
Asians who were born in America, they don't really have a strong connection to wherever they might be from. They are connected to it, but they're not like, I go back there and it's like home. Like, home to them is right here.
And they speak more European than the European.
I understand that, but it still is the bottom line that we're the wealth, and you can't have the help making more than you and becoming bigger than you. Somebody has to be on the bottom. And that's
capitalism.
Where they need to keep us. They need to keep us right where we are. The other part is that I believe that they're afraid that it's people of color, because my understanding is every place where there are people of color, those are the ones that's impoverished.
Oppressed.
So they're
like
afraid
Jamaica.
That right now it's a war. It's a war on surviving. We outnumber them, people of color.
Okay. Kenny, you want to wrap it up? Y'all want to, because you got 60 seconds, less than 60 seconds.
Nah, man. Great show, Carl.
You good? Hey, look.
I'm good.
I appreciate you guys calling in. And I just want to say to everybody out there, when you're out there in your house, when you're interacting with the police, be on your best behavior so that, you know, you can maybe reduce some of the trauma that's caused. Results in some of these police interactions, because these guys, I believe, are somewhere just they're afraid, and I understand why they might be fearful, but that's no excuse for killing us, black, white, or anybody. That's no excuse.
But don't take the job.
Right, don't take the job.
See,
that's
Carl.
Not a job for you. That's right. All
right,
y'all. Peace out.
Peace out.
We have Urban Black Urban America Tuesdays 8 to 9 o'clock. Mr. Kenny Jones. Thank you.
You will not.
not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.